all spread your wings, close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside, spread your wings, and close your eyes, let your love flow.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings and more greetings from the Saucer Pod as Dog Poet Visible cruises in the invisibility vortex, overlooking what's not invisible but ought to be. I've had a tough week, but all seems better now. I had the most unusual time with my computer, and after trying to get it to respond after an entire day of difficulties, the like of which I have never seen before, I got angry, and the moment I did, all the electricity went off in my room. That's never happened before. I actually tripped a breaker with the force of my discontent. Whoa. Now that was a wake-up call. Everything's back to normal now, or what passes for normal with me. I didn't sleep last night, so I'm tired and woozy. I hope you forgive me for that if I seem a little off. I didn't mean to be, but it comes with the territory of not sleeping. That often happens to me around the full moons, and I'm pretty much always in a state of hyper-alert anyway, and the moon does a number on me, probably because my moon's in Cancer. Though I don't really know, do I? I mentioned my rough time and inability to sleep last night in the interest of honesty, and also because I wonder if you're experiencing similar things. My days are unpredictable. I never know what's going to happen. Not like I ever do, but I used to think I did, if you catch my drift. So many strange things are happening now that I sometimes don't know whether to bleep or go blind. Luckily, I'm not in the habit of engaging in those things that are supposed to make you go blind. At night, when I do fall asleep, which I usually do without any trouble, I'm having the most incredible dreams. It's like screening good quality movies. The other night, I was actually in a movie and got nominated for an Academy Award in Best Supporting Actor category. Someone in my dream knew someone that got me a part, and it went well. I remember reading the reviews in my dream, and one of the comments was, paraphrasing, although Les Visible brings a new and refreshing identity to the genre, the part is a complex consideration that grants enormous opportunity to one who might take advantage of it. I'm reminded of On the Waterfront and how Brando suited himself up in a role as if something meant something more than the meaningless life it contained. I guess you can imagine what it was like. Anyway, the peculiar thing is that I woke up twice during that dream and had to go to the bathroom, which is not common for me. And each time I went back to sleep, the same dream continued. Acting was something I had a propensity for, but never got into because the profession always seemed vain and shallow to me. I did a certain amount of comedy because then you can intentionally not take yourself seriously. I cringe when I see actors that actually use titles when the Black Queen of Iniquity confers them on them. I feel like I need some Pepto-Bismol and there's nothing wrong with my stomach. We all act because it's impossible not to, and truth be told, there are a lot of bad actors the same way there are bad magicians. They don't comprehend the importance of the effect of all their roles upon the world they move through. And they don't comprehend the science of applied magic because they think it's something they can do instead of something they step out of the way for. Early in my life, I was deeply immersed in the study of the occult. One thing I had no attraction for was ceremonial magic. I think that's an area where you're destined to learn a particular lesson. But everyone tries to play God in their small way, and that makes a big deal. And they make a big deal out of it. That's another thing I never got, was a lust for fame. There's a few things I'm grateful for not being compromised by, and the pursuit of fame is one of them. And being possessed of envy and jealousy is a couple of the others. As far as fame goes, what people never seem to realize is they are far more famous in their minds than they are in the world. With few exceptions, they have to be stoking the burners full-time just to be in a public view. Then they screw up in their private life, and all their efforts to be remembered are gathered around their screw-ups and widely seen because of their desire to be widely known. Being famous is a curse. All kinds of people want to take up your time, and unless you're a fool, you know how valuable your time is. At least I do. My time is as important to me as my own reality, and it is the reality of my being alone, which I covet. I mention jealousy and envy because they tie into the lust for fame as they tie into ordinary lives in any case. Jealousy's funny. It's like you can do whatever you want, but the other person can't, and having it binds the other person into a prison of expectations when initially the love is all about freeing both of them. This is what couples do to each other. Was it Blake who said, he who binds to himself a joy does the winged life destroy, but he who kisses the joy as it flies lives in eternity sunrise. If you love somebody, set them free. If you can't do that, then you've failed at the most important challenge of your life. Everyone likes to think of themselves as good at certain things. Experience. Are you experienced? Well, I am. Thank you, Jimi Hendrix. But none of us are so gifted that someone else couldn't do a better job. That's just how it is. We meet someone and we put on our best face, and once we've got them, we revert to the same jerk we always were. I can't abide that. I work hard every moment, or the past will catch me, in a manner of speaking. And envy? Why should any of us envy anyone? I have very little money or possessions in relation to what most consumers have. I have a few tools, some books, some clothes, no jewelry, no big ticket items, not even any knickknacks. I'm sure there's some memorabilia around, but it's probably in a drawer somewhere. I don't have anything, really. But I do have things that count to me. One has to separate their own set of values from the values placed upon them by a superficial and tacky world. Just about everyone has more than me, except in the places that count. I have a number of things I value more than gold or any other sparkly item that you will have trouble swimming with. And I have health and my eyes are open, not entirely open to me, but I'm working on it. I study people. It's what I do. I study the lives of the famous and the ordinary because people fascinate me, and I notice the rich and powerful and famous don't have a number of the things I have, and which are far more important than riches, power, and fame. Riches exist only to test one's stewardship. Power is there to see if the one possessing it is familiar with the author of it. And fame is there so that you can be a good example. Best place to garner fame is at the closing of one's existence. Prior to that, it's like having a hairnet of mosquitoes and flies, and I've been around those people, so I do know what I'm talking about. The thing is that all of us are fine until we're put to the test. We all say we'll be generous and act responsibly right up until the moment it arrives and drives us nuts. So I took the trouble to give away what I have and will have ahead of time. The power I have is all concentrated on getting people out of people's way. And as for fame, I'd rather be famous in heaven than here. And even then, all I ask is to sit in the outermost circle because I think fame has an above as so below factor. And I don't want to get sent down. I just want to be near the presence because nothing in my life has brought me anywhere near the joy as when God drops in for a visit. I was thinking about that today, how meaningless my life has been except for the moments when the Master is near. Everything I've tried to do was to gain his or her attention and favor. The good things, sure, but the bad things were to get the same attention. I know that this has crippled my various careers because everything I do is immersed in a celebration of that. The world doesn't want to hear about it. If you can't be corrupted, then you're useless to the world. Not to say that I haven't been corrupt. I have certainly been corrupt on moral terms regarding what religions and cultures say about certain behavior. But I don't really care what they think. And God is very different from what people imagine, and I only have the slightest clue about that, but even those behaviors where demands for attention. People think God doesn't have sex. That's ludicrous. People think God doesn't take drugs. That's stupid. People think God is a sanctimonious, unforgiving old windbag, white in color and stern in disposition. I have to tell you, God does all those things because God lives in all of us, and there wouldn't be any of us without sex. And God takes drugs because in times of darkness, those seeking God go to any lengths to blast through the suffocating confinements of materialism. Sure. Some of us are squeaky clean yogis, and some of us sit in church with our knees together and bore the hell out of everyone we encounter and can't dance to save our lives. Let me tell you, if you can't dance, there are some other things you can't do either. They caught another Republican the other day doing what Republicans do, raging against sin and legislating behavior while indulging in it. What is it with Republicans and gay sex? Now, I've got my own view on a number of things, but I recognize our modalities of expression are just stages on the way, and we all go through every one of them. Don't kid yourself about that. We're all encumbered by every religion and political viewpoint, color and race, just so we can get a clue that we are none of that. One of my favorite sayings, which I will take credit for, is that life is a spiral staircase. Someone is always above us and someone below us, so don't piss over the railing. I've been hammered by passions. You can't reach God if you're not a wildly passionate person. Oh, he'll let you in with dispassion, but he won't respect you or call you his friend. That's a he or she as you wish to define it, or an it. God doesn't care. What God cares about is, are you trying to get there? Everything else is the sort of thing God tends to spew out of his or her mouth. God is more alive and more virile than we can imagine, and more immediately present than we suspect. God gives up outrageous opportunities to us, and sometimes they are privately viewed, but they are all equally important. God gave the Beatles angels for inspiration, and when the world intoxicated them, he took them away. He, she gives all power and possibility, but all of it is to see where your attention lies and the degree of your gratitude. Make no mistake. Look at the world and wake your ass up. There's nothing you can't have or do, but there are rules of engagement. God wants your full attention. And if you can't muster that, then why should God bother? People complain about God and deny God, but I will tell you there's no better or more loyal friend, and he, she expects the same. It's all or nothing at all with God, and you can't hear this. You can hear it or not. It's no never mind to me. I have a certain degree of compassion, and I try to be forgiving and merciful because I have been the recipient of both, but I am not a tender flesh sentimentalist. You know what's in front of you. I'm one of the most clueless people around, and even I get that. I get God. I understand the human-divine dynamic. I may not understand God at all, but I understand what's required of me, and I know that everything I get put through is to see where my priorities lie. If God pounds you into sand to make a beach for indolent sunbathers to lie on, then he has a reason. She has a reason. If God lifts you up or strikes you down, there's a very good reason, and I've seen some of them. People argue about extremes when they had better avoid them entirely, except when it comes to devotion and gratitude. One of the things I notice most is that when I go out to eat, I never see anyone saying grace or being thankful. Now, I don't do this in a public way. It's private and quiet, but it amazes me, and you can kind of tell. And astounds me that people are not grateful for everything that they get, and most of which they don't even recognize. Like they got here under their own power and maintained it all, too. Yeah, good luck with that. If you haven't fallen back into the wondrous embrace of the Great One, then time and circumstance will see that you do, and it's a lot better to head off seeking it in the first place. I get all kinds of emails from people who immediately engage me in a dialogue where while they are looking for advice, they're already telling me how it should be. No wonder they have problems. Just last night I was in a pub with a good friend, and as usual, due to my usual bizarre behavior of dancing and singing, having a good time, people come over to my table and want to find out why I'm the way I am. I tell them in simple terms. It's not something that requires a lot of thought. Then I get convoluted arguments about how things are, and all I can think is, no wonder they're not singing and dancing. And I am. Even my good friend was a tad standoffish, but he was looking to get laid. I know that, so I promptly informed him about the measure of the lady because I'd encountered her before. Somewhere, sometime, but who knows where or when. And like magic, he came over and said he had to leave, and they were out the door. You can't be singing and dancing if technique and being a good closer is a concern to you. Can't be singing and dancing in the first place unless none of these other things are important, and that can be because of idiocy or liberation. Just as senility travels on a companion highway with regenerated innocence, well, hey, of course the former can't see the latter, and the latter isn't about taking notes or rubbernecking. I already slept with all these people. I already screwed up in every way a person can. Somewhere and sometime, even if I can't remember it, I'm convinced I have. It's just not important to me anymore. To me, it all looks like work with no return. It looks like I'm serving myself with all the heavy and complicated environment that attends it, instead of the free and effortless letting go that amounts to what happens when God takes over your life and you're no longer the greatest star in your own embarrassing and sparsely attended universe. Now, you know what anonymous means. Hey, he must be pretty good at what he does, because I've seen his name attached to many things. I'll say it again, nothing is more important than finding your creator. Absolutely nothing. You may not get that now, but you will. I was sitting here in the early dawn of this morning and thinking to myself, look at all the things you didn't do, and they were right there. They were sunbathing on life's smorgasbord table and begging for you to pretend you were better at it than all the other people who are so much better than the other people, in an endless line of personal ambition and privately known magical techniques only known to them. And I thought, you know what? I was looking for God. I didn't spend much time thinking about the good things, the ones that I actually accomplished, because there's only one power. And I was just getting out of the way. integrity, all the real virtues and qualities, they may not be worth much here and might likely only get you into trouble, but they mean a great deal somewhere else. Now, I'm not your tour guide, and you shouldn't follow me, because I took the madman Shaivite road, but you can be sure there is a road, and all you have to do is walk it. And walk it like there was nothing else, no matter what, that was going to take your eyes off the road you were upon. And that's the reality of it. Because every time you take your eyes off the road, there's an exit. And every time you take an exit, there's another life. Those are all the exits off the road. I like the future exit. Well, maybe they have one called present exit. I don't know. Well, we've reached the end of another broadcast, and I thank you for sharing this bit of highway with me. It's lonely on this highway, so the thought that some of you are walking right alongside is a great comfort. I'll see you next week, if there is one. And may you gain that one single-minded passion that soars above the rest, that turns scorpions into eagles and human beings into gods. May you find that. That said, Hare Krishna, aloha, and haru! Come inside, spread your wings, and close your eyes, yeah, let your love flow. Come inside, share, let your love flow. Come inside, hold it to love.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.